Hi, and welcome back to This is True Crime, y'all, a true crime podcast from Austin, Texas, about everything true crime. I am very happy and stoked to announce, as I've said before, that I am part of the awesome Leader One Podcast Network. You can find all the other podcasts on YouTube, Spotify, and everywhere you get your true crime. I am so happy to be part of this network by Morgan Rector, the host of the Human Monsters True Crime Podcast, and I look forward to many more episodes. So thank you. Today we're going to discuss the case of the cannibal killer Issei Sagawa. He's a Japanese murderer. He's known as the Kobe Cannibal, and he is alive and out walking around as a free man, which is actually insane to me. Mr. Sagawa had been dreaming of eating people since he was a small child, when he reportedly would look at classmates' thighs and think how delicious they looked. So he did have a childhood where he was sick all of the time. He was born prematurely, and he reportedly loved literature, and he was studying at a place in Paris when he spotted a tall, beautiful Northern European woman, Renee Hartveld. He said that when he sat next to her in class, he fell instantly in love and could not stop thinking about the beautiful white skin of her arms. She was the perfect woman. This was not the first time he attempted to rape and cannibalize a woman. At the age of 24, while attending Wako University in Tokyo, Sagawa followed a tall German woman home, broke into her apartment while she was sleeping, with intentions to cannibalize her. His ideology was to slice a small part of her buttocks off and sneak away with a small part of her flesh. She awoke and, according to him, threw him to the ground. Sagawa was captured by police and charged with attempted rape, although he did not divulge his true intentions. His charges of attempted rape were dropped when his father paid a settlement to the victim. This time, he had to be ready. Renee was 25, blonde, and independent, spoke three languages, and had an amazingly bright future with the aim of getting a PhD in French literature. Sagawa asked her to teach him German, and since his father was quite wealthy, he could pay her well. So, of course, she accepted, with no idea the fate that was going to befall her. According to Sagawa, she liked his obvious intelligence and ability to discuss everything from Impressionist paintings to Shakespeare to European literature. He wrote her love letters and invited her to concerts and exhibits. He was small, feminine, walked with a limp, yet she often went with him and invited him to her apartment for tea. They even danced together, which allowed Sagawa an even more physical sense of his fantasies. He found these Nordic women overpowering, and even as he claimed to love them, he wanted to possess and destroy them. He thought she was beautiful, amazing, and strong, and that if he ate her, he would absorb her powers. He invited her over frequently, and, like a fucking weirdo, after she left, he smelled and licked the place where she had sat and vowed that he would eat her, and that would allow him to possess her forever. So he asked her to come over for dinner again. He had a cassette recorder and said he wanted to record her reading of the poem. She accepted, and Sagawa prepared himself to act out his ultimate fantasy. Upon his arrival in Paris, he purchased a .22 caliber rifle for self-protection. He had it ready when she arrived. He seated her on the floor, Japanese style, to drink tea. Into her drink, he put some whiskey to make her more pliant. They talked for a while as Sagawa waited for the whiskey to have its effect. Then he told Renee that he loved her and wanted to take her to bed. She resisted him. She found him engaging, but not attractive. And if you see the pictures of this man, woof, you know why. Ugh. He got up to get a book of poetry while she sat down. He handed the poem to her to read and started the recorder. While she recited the poem in her native, beautiful language, Sagawa came up behind her and shot her in the back of the neck. She fell off her chair, and he continued to talk to her, but she couldn't answer. He was surprised by the amount of blood that flowed from her wounds. At first, he tried to clean it up, and he said that he thought about calling 911, but he had been waiting 30 years for this moment and was definitely not going to pass it up. So he undressed her and he says, "I didn't know how hard it was to remove clothes from a corpse." But he was very happy that now she could no longer refuse his advances. She belonged to him. He raped her corpse. So he's also a cannibal, a necrophile, all of those things. He says that he got a knife and used it to cut off the tip of her left breast and a piece of her nose, which he immediately consumed. "I touched her hip," he wrote in his fictional account in a book called In the Fog, "and I wondered where I should bite first." He chose her right buttocks and found it was difficult to bite into. Sagawa then realized his mistake. He needed a much sharper knife and immediately went out to purchase one. As he sawed into her buttocks, he complained that it was too fatty and that it looked like corn. And it took him a long time to get to the meat. As fat oozed out of her stab wounds, he smelled it and found it had no odor. He had to cut deeper and deeper until he found the flesh that he was looking for and placed a chunk into his mouth. "It melted in my mouth like raw tuna in a sushi restaurant," says Sagawa. To him, there was nothing more delicious. And he looked into Renee's dead eyes and told her how great she tasted. He was ecstatic now that he had indulged himself in his ultimate cannibal fantasy. He had this gorgeous body all to himself. It had taken him till the age of 32 to consummate his desires, but he had finally done it. Then he got serious. He had an electric carving knife and began to cut her into pieces. He laid out strips of flesh to store for later, like disgusting beef jerky. Then he made a quick meal of fried human flesh with mustard. Quite the connoisseur. He took photographs of the mutilated corpse and had sex with it again. "When I hug her," he recorded, "she lets out a breath." He told her that he loved her. As he cooked and ate more of her remains, he listened to the recording that she had made of her reading the poem. When he was finished, he used her underwear as a napkin to wipe his mouth. Oh my God, I almost threw up a little bit. I had not read that before. He returned to her body, cut off a breast, and baked it. But he disliked the greasy consistency. "Doesn't he know you have to render the fat?" "Sorry, bad taste. I apologize. He was finally exhausted. He took what was left of the corpse into his bed and actually slept with a mutilated, dismembered corpse. Whew, that's a lot to unpack. The next day, finding that the body did not yet smell, he continued to try parts of it, in particular the arm that had fascinated him so much. He chewed on it all the way from the underarm to the elbow. "I had no idea," he writes, "that it would taste so good." Sagawa was curious about a few of the body parts that seemed more repulsive. He hesitated over what to do, but decided, why not? Indulge yourself. He cut out the anus and put it into his mouth, but the smell overpowered him, and he spit it out. He tried frying it, but that failed to diminish the odor, so he gave up and returned to other parts of her body. Soon after, he discovered several large flies swarming around the corpse, so he took it as a sign that he'd lost Renee and that this honeymoon phase was over. He used a hatchet to chop her into pieces that he put into suitcases he'd bought specifically for this purpose. Even after he dismembered her, he grew so excited. He used her severed hand to masturbate. Then he chewed on her nose and heard the noise of the cartilage crunching. Since he'd often thought about chewing on her lip, he removed that and set it aside. There were several parts of her that he would keep for later pleasures. "I want her tongue. I can't open her lower jaw, but I can reach in between her teeth." And finally, it came out. He cut it off, popped it into his mouth, and watched himself chewing it in the mirror. Jesus fucking Christ. Then he went for her eyes and ate those as well. The final step for Sagawa was to explore her internal organs, which stung his hands with digestive acid, and then he used a hatchet to cut off her head. With so many parts removed, it looked like a skull. He grabbed the hair and hung the head in front of him, an experience that in retrospect caused him to say, "I realized I'm a cannibal." You just realized that? Oh, okay, sir. Okay. So, he stuffed her dismembered body into several suitcases, hailed a cab, and then took her to a local park. The Bois de Boulogne. Anyways, he took her to a park, intending to throw the suitcases into a pond. He had a difficult time because the suitcases were heavy, and when people saw him and blood dripping out of the suitcases, many people called the French police. So, someone reported it. He dropped the suitcases, he left, and that a couple went closer and examined the suitcases and saw a female hand protruding from one of them. Police came and opened the suitcases and began the task of tracing the bags back to whoever purchased them. In the meantime, Sagawa returned to his apartment to enjoy the pieces of Renee that he'd put into the refrigerator like disgusting leftovers in Tupperware. As he ate another gruesome meal, he thumbed through some pornography and pleasured himself. Each day of his remaining freedom, he ate another piece, claiming in later renditions that it became sweeter with time. Police arrived at his apartment 2 days later with a search warrant. Sagawa let them in. They opened the refrigerator and found pieces of a female body, including the lips he longed after. He freely confessed to what he had done and included that he had a history of mental illness. In fact, his descriptions were so detailed and so salacious that a judge decided he was not competent to stand trial. He was clearly delusional. He received a sentence of incarceration for an indefinite period in the Paul Girard Asylum. Three psychiatrists who evaluated him said that he could never be cured. It pays to be rich, apparently, because his father, Akira Sagawa, president of Kurita Water Industries in Tokyo, eventually worked out a deal to have Sagawa transferred to the Matsuzawa Psychiatric Hospital in Japan in 1984. The superintendent there believed that he was sane and ought to be in prison. He remained for 15 months before he was granted his freedom, again, thanks to his father and very much against the advice of the superintendent. After killing a woman and consuming her remains, Sagawa was able to go freely in society only 5 years after this heinous crime. He was even granted a passport to go to Germany. What made the situation worse was how he reveled in what he did and how he was so happy to tell people about it on talk shows. He wrote food reviews. He published over 20 books, some fictional, some non-fictional. He agreed to appear in several Japanese pornographic films. He has had countless movies made about him, some called Cannibal. I can't imagine people idealizing this guy or idolizing him. It's crazy. You killed someone, you dismembered and ate their corpse, had sex with it, and in 5 years, you are out walking the streets and talking about how it is your dying wish to eat one more person before you die. He had gotten away with murder, and he was fucking stoked about it. He loved being the focus of tabloid media, granting interviews and videos to indulge the voyeuristic curiosity of those who wanted to get closer to the Kobe cannibal. He finds the attention amusing and does not feel that he did anything wrong. He quotes, "The public has made me the godfather of cannibalism, and I am happy about it." The Rolling Stones wrote and recorded a song about Sagawa's gory deed, calling it "Too Much Blood." And Sagawa even tried his hand at a comic book version of the story. He wrote a weekly column for a tabloid publication, edited an anthology of cannibal fantasies, and was featured on the cover of a Japanese gourmet magazine. Under an assumed name, he even managed to get women to pose nude for him. On his website, he offers excerpts from his rendition of his crime and discusses why cannibalism is not such a horrific act. For those who want to see his art, he shows examples of his paintings, mostly of the fleshy buttocks of white females. In a magazine article, he said that he now envisions being eaten himself by a young Western woman because he insists only an act like that will save him. He is quoted as saying, "The desire to eat people becomes so intense, especially around summertime, when women start wearing less and showing more skin. What I'm saying is, I cannot bear the thought of leaving this life without ever tasting this delicious dairy air on this woman I saw this morning or her thighs. I want to eat them again while I'm alive so that I can at least be satisfied when I die." So that is the short case of Isai Sagawa, the Kobe cannibal, who is a necrophile, who is a murderer, and a cannibal. And he is allowed to walk free to this day. Thankfully, he is very sick from what I understand and is being taken care of by family and caregivers. So hopefully he won't be able to do it again. I do think if he had the chance, based on his crazy rantings, that he most definitely would. Thank you for listening, and feel free to check out the Leader One Podcast Network. I'm so happy to be a part of it, and you might just find your new next favorite podcast.